We're back on the Florida Roundup on WLRN. Thanks again for listening this week. We appreciate it. Recess and tests up next. One of the most beloved traditions of school and one of the most loathed, right? Well, certainly both are very contentious for parents, students, teachers, school administrators, and state lawmakers.
Everybody's pretty much used to not having recess now.
That's Luis Martinez. He's 8 years old and attends an elementary school here in Miami. Legislation approved unanimously by the Florida Senate this week would require Luis and all 1.3 million elementary public school students in Florida to have 20 minutes of recess each and every school day. South Dade Republican Senator Anate Flores sponsored the bill.
How can we get back to the times where daily recess is part of our school day?
Now, the bill faces an uncertain future in the Florida House, as does a bill aiming to cut back on the number of tests students have to take and how tests are used to evaluate teachers. You can add your voice to testing and school recess here on WLRN, 800-743-WLRN. Jessica Bakeman covers education policy for Politico Florida. Lynn Hatter is the news director at WFSU, our sister station in Tallahassee, both of them in the capital city today. Lynn, let's begin with the changes to recess. How significant are the changes proposed in the Senate bill?
Well, the changes are pretty significant from where the state is now. Most districts don't really have concrete recess policies, which is why you've seen this drive to get something in state law. We have seen since the introduction of recess bills now more and more districts beginning to adopt some local policies. But this bill would essentially mandate that kids have at least 100 minutes of recess a week. And that's sort of where this group called the Recess Moms is really going with this bill. They believe that students should have a certain amount of time just dedicated to free play.
Why, Jessica, why has recess become a state legislative issue over the past couple of sessions now?
Well, as Lynn mentioned, the school districts throughout the state have different policies. And so because there's an inconsistent policy, you have parents who say, my neighboring district has recess for the children who live there. Why shouldn't my kids also have recess? And they feel that they haven't gotten the response that they wanted from their school board members. So they have started this statewide campaign to get a law through. And it's difficult for legislators because on one hand, they don't like to, or at least they say they don't like to, create new curricular mandates mm-hmm. on school districts, because any mandate that says you have to spend 20 minutes on recess means that they have to find that 20 minutes in the day, which will take it away from something else. And so they're undermining that local control. And of course, the school boards are locally elected.
Right. So, Lynn, if school boards or school districts don't have recess for elementary school, and under this legislation, they'd have to find the 20 minutes to do it if the legislation's successful. Where is that traditional recess time spent now?
Well, the traditional recess time is spent not on a playground. It's spent in a classroom. It's spent doing reading lessons. It's spent essentially elsewhere in the day. Now, the state does mandate that students have PE. That is a mandate. They have to do about 150 minutes or so a week of that. But when it comes down to just, you know, letting kids go out, play on the monkey bars for 20 or so minutes, that's not really allocated time in a lot of districts. Mm-hmm. They squeeze it in when they can, but again, every district is different. So you have seen some districts like Leon County, like some down in South Florida, that have adopted recess policies, but really, you know, it's just everywhere.
For what it's worth, it's Foursquare that apparently is the game that my elementary school has experience with in my neighborhood. Jessica, the effort last year to do something state mandated on recess failed in the Senate. This year, it's the Senate that is pushing forward a proposal, and it could stall in the House. What's changed between the two pieces of the legislative assembly?
Well, it's always important to remember that there was a change of leadership in both houses, right? So in Florida, there is a new president of the Senate and speaker of the House every 2 years. And the answer to this question is both that there were individuals who were supportive or unsupportive, and now that has switched. But I think it always comes back to leadership, because you have to remember that any committee chair is going to be paying attention to the priorities and listening to the priorities of the president or the speaker. And in some cases, it's hard to tell whether an individual member is sort of like taking the fall on an issue for whatever is, you know, the will or the whim of the president or the speaker. So last year, Senator John Legg was the chair of the Education Committee in the Senate, and he essentially blocked this proposal there, saying that it was unfair to put a new mandate on school districts when they're already dealing with so many other mandates. However, the bill, I think the pretty much the same, if not exactly the same bill that just passed the Senate had passed the House last year, but there were two people who voted against it. One is Richard Corcoran, who is now Speaker, and the other one was Michael Bileka, who is now Chair of the House Education Committee.
And he's and a South Florida Republican House member from Southeast Dade.
Right. So he, in the House, we've seen originally there was a bill introduced that was identical to what the Senate passed, but it has been transformed in committee, and so it's a very different version. Instead of having 20 minutes every day of recess, unstructured free play, basically this says, and that's for kindergarten through fifth graders, and the House version is for kindergarten through third graders, and it says that they could have recess basically on days when they don't have physical education. So it conflates recess and physical education, basically.
Let's move from play to testing now, Lynn. And standardized testing has also been a focus of many, many past legislative sessions, including this one. There's some legislation making its way through the Senate that would have some changes for standardized testing. What are those changes?
So we just saw the merger of two testing proposals in the Senate, and it was a bill by Senator Bill Montford and one by Senator Anatary Flores. So under this merged bill, you now see the elimination of most of the end-of-course assessments. You see districts will now be able to go back to using paper and pencil options for their tests, and you also see a request to ask the state DOE to sort of reconsider ways that we can begin using some of these national assessments like the SAT and ACT to substitute for some other Florida tests. So the two bills merged this week over in the Senate, but that merger has not taken place over in the House. And under the House proposal, which is very similar to Flores's original bill, it would essentially push back the testing window to later in the school year, shrink it down a little bit. So, you know, a lot of those testing elimination parts have not yet been included in that House proposal.
How much of repudiation is this of the leftover of Governor Jeb Bush and his focus on education and testing and measuring education results, Jessica?
I think you could definitely see it that way. A lot of the accountability system, which includes accountability, basically means how do we hold teachers and schools and districts accountable for student performance, and the way you measure that performance is a variety of ways, but largely testing. And so that whole structure was designed and championed by former Governor Bush. And I think a lot of people see any changes to accountability and testing as going against what he wanted. And and the State Department of Education in lawsuits, even very recently, has defended the testing policies and the accountability policies as the reasons why Florida went from being one of the lowest performing states in the country in terms of the public schools to among the highest performing states in the country on some measures, like, for example, the National Assessment of Educational Progress. So I think that the people who care about Jeb Bush's policies, particularly his foundations that he chairs, the Foundation for Florida's Future and the Foundation for Excellence in Education, don't want to see these changes happen. And that could be why we're seeing people in the House not wanting to go in that direction, because they are loyal to his policies.
Let me work in some listener comments here. Folks who sent a text to us, and with these comments, Giovanni and Kendall saying, yes, reduce standardized testing. We need to spend more time on moving our educational system to our times. We still follow the same model. If we were primarily an agriculture type of culture, Christina in Boynton Beach saying it would be great if they reduced the testing before it becomes an issue for us. She says she's dreading the start of FSAs for a kindergartner and a preschooler soon to follow him in the Palm Beach County School District. And Ileana in Dania Beach says, I have two little boys. One is in first grade, and it is frustrating how the school is so focused on teaching for the test, in quotation marks. Lynn, if these changes to standardized testing are successful this legislative session, how much would they upend the current testing culture that has been baked into Florida public schools for the past half generation, really?
Well, if the Senate gets its way, then a lot of the tests that students are taking, especially in the high school grades, really would go away. I mean, you now have a system where you take a reading assessment. There's a math assessment. You have to take your end of course exams in history, geometry, algebra 1, algebra 2, civics. All of those would be significantly scaled down for some students. You know, we've seen, especially over the past couple years, that's when we really saw the addition of the end of course exams. It used to be that you only took the FCAT. What's significant here, I think, is that you really see this push happening over in the Florida Senate, which is, as Jessica talked about a little minute ago, really beginning to break with Jeb Bush's foundations. And you've heard senators who have previously supported these reforms. One notable one is former Senate President Tom Lee, who has said, you know, they were needed at the time, but now, you know, we're just in this phase of testing. It's also interesting to note that when you look at these national assessments, ones like NAEP, Florida's progress has really sort of tapered off. So we're really sort of plateauing. And I think a lot of people are asking the question, you know, where does the state go from here? There are still a lot of discrepancies we need to address, like the achievement gaps, but really overall progress on these things has sort of plateaued. So what is the next generation of this testing and accountability system? What does that look like? And I think those are the questions that lawmakers are currently trying to figure out.
And the time is ticking for them to figure out this legislative session. Lynn Hatter, the news director at our sister station in Tallahassee, WFSU. Thank you, Lynn. Always great to hear from you. And Jessica Bakeman, following education policy for Politico Florida. Both of them with us from Tallahassee today. Stick around. Plenty more to come here on the Florida Roundup. The mounting toll of the opioid crisis. If you've been touched by an overdose or work with those battling addiction, we want to hear from you. Call us 800-743-WLRN.